It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Muzunga Mwonga is here to give us an answer to our question for today. Pastor Mwonga, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is, what is Christianity's response to religious extremism and violence all created and done in the name of Christianity?
Okay, can we have a context to the question? Is there an example?
I'll give you an example, Mfundis. Today, when we read the Bible, we know that in the Bible, God had given instructions for violence to be meted out against members of the LGBTIQ community. When you read the book of Leviticus, it says, if a person sleeps with a man as with another man, with a woman, that person must be taken out of the village and be stoned at the gate. If a child is disrespectful to the child, to the parents must report the child to the elders, and then the elders must correct the child and then take the child to the gates and stone him. A person sleeps with an animal. You know, things like those where it is instructed by God in the book of Leviticus that you must take that person outside and stone them to death. That's violence, and all of that is done in the name of God. Thus saith the Lord. Even in the New Testament, they took the woman caught in the act of adultery, preparing to stone her, all in the name of God. I'm just giving you biblical examples so that we are not seen as though we're attacking communities today. Let's use those examples of violence, all in the name of God. What is the biblical response? What is Christianity's response to those acts that have been referred to as extremist acts of violence committed in the name of Christianity?
Okay, to begin with, as you have indicated, I think it's necessary to define terms here.
All right.
And violence, to my understanding, is a behavior involving physical force intended
to hurt,
to damage, or to kill someone or something. That
right.
is violence.
Right, right.
The other words can be brutality, roughness, you know, whatever, being savage, being cruel.
Right.
These are qualified to be violence. But then, the examples you have given of the LGBTQ in the Bible, where they were slaughtered and killed, those who disobeyed their parents were killed, and those who committed adultery also killed in the Bible. Those who killed another person were also killed.
Right.
Yeah, but then the question before I even get into the question, let me make it clear today that the Bible does not support a child who disobeys the parents. Mm. Disobedience is supported. Disrespecting parents is not supported in the Bible.
Right.
Even LGBTQ is not supported in the Bible. Then the question is, how do we handle these people now? We don't have to kill them. But we don't have to support their behavior because it's not biblical. Our duty is to show them the right path of righteousness.
Mm.
Our duty is to help them overcome the defects in their nature because that is evil. We need to help them overcome the evil that has taken them as slaves in their nature.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I think that's my response to the examples that we have given. But then, I've heard of a certain religious sects that in the name of religion or in the name of Christianity would go and hate other people, kill, steal, and all that stuff like that.
Mm.
But I think from there, the Bible is clear on that. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt love your enemy. Thou shalt love, bless those who hate you. Thou shalt not revenge. That's what God says to us.
Right, right.
Yes, unless there's something else we can clarify then.
So I'm trying to understand, Mfundisi, what then do we do with those verses that give that instruction to stone those who have done the abominable things? Those verses go on to say, you must purge evil from among you. What do we do with those verses? Do we delete them from the Bible?
We don't have to. I think we are having those verses in the Old Testament and not in the New Testament. And this does not mean I do not believe in the Old Testament. But what I'm trying to say is, after Christ died on the cross, he amplified the law.
Right.
And he explained to us what I want to believe in the New Testament. They understood God, but they did not understand the gracious part of God.
Mm.
So the New Testament comes in to give us a new aspect of God that is also a gracious God. In as much as he's a God who wants us to keep the law, he's also gracious. He's the one to enable us to keep the law.
Mm.
So we don't need to kill them, but we need to point them to the cross so that they do not disobey the law of nature and the laws of their God.
I totally agree with you, Mfundisi, that we need to do that. My curiosity now is, do we no longer preach from those verses? Do we ignore those verses that are in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, for example? Do we ignore them? When I was saying, do we delete them, it was a hyperbole to point to...
We don't ignore them.
So
what you call biblical interpretation, and biblical interpretation... helps us then to merge the Old Testament, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right, right.
And that, remember yesterday you asked me about the issues of reason and intellect, the use of reason and intellect in the matters of faith. Now, we can use our reasoning and our intellect with an understanding of a biblical interpretation. Then you begin to appreciate that certain texts in the Bible, in the Old Testament, have their... new sphere of understanding from the New Testament perspective. So an example, the Bible in the Old Testament says we should kill those who are in LGBTQ. They should be killed. But the New Testament tells us, in fact, they can be helped to overcome and live a better life.
Okay.
The Old Testament tells us we should kill those who commit adultery. But the New Testament tells us they can experience forgiveness and live a better life. So I think we don't have to delete them, but we need to interpret them.
Right, right. So it, just point us to the text before we part ways, and just point us to those texts in the New Testament, because people's minds are always flooded with the book of Leviticus 24, and we are never pointed to the New Testament revision, as you're suggesting, those New Testament clarification. Just point us to those verses that says the LGBTIQ community now need to be prayed for. Just and point us to the right direction. Just point us to those verses.
Of course, there's no actual verse in the New Testament that says the LGBTQ need to be prayed for. But there is a text in the book of John that states that if a man commits a sin that does not lead to death, pray for them. That's in the book of 1 John.
Okay.
A sin that leads to death is a sin that insults the Holy Spirit. But if someone does not insult the Holy Spirit, the guiltiness, then they can be prayed for.
Right, right, right. So, for example, the text I was referring to is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 15. Say to the Israelites, and I have no preference with the text, with the version, by the way. I just want to put it out there that anyone can use any version that they see or choose. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17 says, say to the Israelites, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Verse 16 says, anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be put to death. The entire assembly must stone them, whether foreigner or native born. When they blaspheme the name of thy Lord, they are to be put to death. That's the first act of violence instructed by God in the book of Leviticus. Verse 17 says, anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. Verse 18.
I think you're adding something to the text. When you talk of violence, let's define violence from the biblical aspect.
No, here it says be put to death.
When you're punished for what you deserve, it's not violence.
Oh, okay.
When you beat a child for the wrong they have done, you're not being violent. You're just correcting them. And telling them the past, right?
Okay. I didn't see that way. Okay.
When you take a thief into prison, you're not being violent. You're just disciplining the guy. So when you are quoting the Bible and then you're saying God is violent, I think we have a problem with that text.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 17 says, anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. So you're saying that's not violence. It's okay. It can be done.
It's just a law. It's just a law. It's not violent. There's no violence in that.
Okay. So, and then 18 says, anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution. And verse 19 says, anyone who injures the neighbor is to be injured in the same manner, and so forth and so forth. It goes on to talk about the other parts.
Yeah.
But then, so you're saying we can follow this. We must go ahead and kill these people because the sort of
violence. We don't have to kill the New Testament. Here's what I'm trying to say. In the first John.
Pastor, are you still there?
Ah, what's up?
I shall ask.
Sorry, Pastor. Pastor. You got cut there as you were explaining.
Are you there with me?
Start again, please, Pastor. You got cut as you were speaking. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah, start again. You were saying in John?
John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16.
Is it John or 1 John, Pastor?
It's John. That's 1 John.
1 John.
Yes, chapter 5, verse 16. If you see a brother committing a sin that leads not unto death,
right,
you pray for them. You pray for them.
Okay.
But there is a sin unto death, and you do not pray for such a one.
Okay.
I mean, you pray, and the sin unto death in the New Testament is insulting the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
It's insulting the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and that's the sin. But then when you understand the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, to getting to this current one, it talks to us about the evils of a nature that has not been born again.
Okay.
And the evils that is adultery, fornication, all kinds of evil you can talk about.
Right.
And then we are told that we can experience a new creation.
Right.
We can
all right.
New creation. So I'm here to literally tell you that I may not be prone to LGBTQ tendencies,
yeah.
But I may have another sin. Should I be killed for the sin that I've committed?
No. Okay.
All I have to do, I can come, confess my sin, and God will give me forgiveness,
yeah.
And then me anew.
Ah, I hear you. Got it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your perspective, your insights. Ever so appreciated. See you tomorrow, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day, Mfundisi. Thank you very much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.